I saw you were at the Heat game.
Yeah, them boys got blew out.
But y'all had amazing tickets.
If your feet ain't on the wood, the seat's not good. Hey. Well, I got them bitches last minute, too.
But you got them on Game Time?
Yeah, on Game Time.
So we found Game Time, GameTime.co. And this is the best app that we have found for purchasing tickets, hands down, by far. You will actually get a full refund if you get fired from your job
for going to one of these events.
Yes. That's, I mean, Game Time. It's the best.
There's no
way. It's the best. GameTime.co.
What's the cancellation thing again?
Event cancellation protection. If the event is canceled, automatic cash refund. Can cancel tickets up to 72 hours before the event.
So you Buffalo Bills fans might be in luck next year. Get a refund if you download Game Time.
But again, I think the best part is being able to see where you're sitting so you know you get a good seat. Go to GameTime.co for any tickets that you are going to purchase. It is the best platform. Go and make sure to use promo code Jake, J-A-K-E, for $20 off of your purchase. That is promo code J-A-K-E for $20 off your purchase.
Oh, they could.
Oh, and speaking of artists.
There he is.
Today's guest, the one and only.
Mr. In the Club himself.
When I step up in this club, girls like to rock and they show me love. Hey, yo, Gunna looking hot tonight, huh?
Hey. Yo, I thought of the craziest shit because he was like, oh, bro, you can't call me Gunner.
Well, he looks great. We'll fill him in on the backstory. I haven't seen you in a bit.
Yeah, I was obese.
My man looks like a triangle now. You got that upper body like you've been in prison, dog. Like, you look good, dog. I told him he looks like a rapper now. Before, he looked like he worked at, like, a place that made you sandwiches, and he was fed up, and he didn't want to be there anymore.
Arby's, we have the beef.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the meats.
So I'm the new co-host now. I left, you know, the old podcast. Yeah. I got a good raise over here. It's I feel comfortable here.
Fit, right?
Yep. Yes, sir. And thanks for having me.
No, thanks for joining as a salaried worker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 9 to 5 vibes. I like
because he's not really a guest. That is the announcement. Is that George is the new co-host for BS with Jake Paul. Surprise. And George Jenko.
Yo, all joking aside, when you guys said that meant the world to me. When you guys were talking very nicely after that whole draw, you were the only people on YouTube that were like, nah, we like that kid. So yeah. I really appreciate it. That was very sweet.
What was everybody else saying?
They were just kind of like following a narrative that
he
was out there.
He switched up. He's so fake.
Yeah.
Logan gave him this. Sometimes
you just got to live your life.
I think it's funny when people on the internet like try to decide everything for people's lives, but they don't have their own lives figured out.
And they're also
I didn't think it was going that way.
Why? Taylor Swift, Travis, this part, why? Don't do this. Don't do that. How could you do this?
Well, they're invested, right? So like if you watch like a Friends episode, right? I just realized that the writers wanted Chandler Bing to cheat on Monica. That's a big thing. That would have ruined my view on Chandler and Monica. So when you are a character on a show and somebody watches like a fallout, they pick a side. They try to figure out like they're invested. So
and
I
then there's the common consensus, which just gets followed. Most people online don't actually form an opinion for themselves. They just kind of see, they're so desperate to fit in with the group that when they see something going one way, they jump on board.
But the common consensus is based off of 5% of my life that I allow you to see. Like, people will create this whole idea.
Yeah, but we go off on the fact that we are showing everything. So they think that they're seeing it all. It's all a perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are you guys doing? I feel like...
Good, man.
I feel like you guys are doing, like, so good. And I walk in, the energy is, like, slowly, like...
No. Well, we're doing terrible.
Well said.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, literally.
So, yeah, everything's gone wrong today. Yeah.
Well... No,
but now
it
it's going right because Gunna's here.
When I step up in the club.
Finish it. Keep going.
Girls like to rock it, show me love.
I'm actually
keep going.
That,
keep
know,
going.
To my son, they can't get enough. Oh,
spoke too soon.
What what'd you say? What'd you,
machine.
When
machine.
I step up in this club, girls like to rock and they show me love.
Dancing
to my song.
They can't get enough. Then I pop lock and they show me love.
Let's go.
For reference, George has a music video from 13 years ago.
I was
that we're seeing
right
now.
Yeah.
9 years old when that
we'll put
came
the visuals
out.
Up on the screen. You know it's fun. Thanks, Machine Gun Belly.
just fucking coming for you, dude. Freaking coming for you.
I don't want to say anything. I just want you to put a picture of him, clear picture with the underbite, beard shave, and Jay Leno next to each other. No.
No, I made the craziest meme of myself. I was roasting Nina in a group chat, and then I felt bad.
Oh no.
And so I sent her the one where she looks like the evil guy from Spider-Man.
William Dafoe?
Jesus.
Yeah. But me and Nina are like, we're on that level now where we can roast each other. But I was like, I made this one of myself. We'll put it up on the screen.
Dog, you look like a Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, I feel like once you own it, bro, like, it can't be said no
That's
more.
The 8 Mile approach.
But that shit is hilarious. Like, the little dandelion hair.
Yeah, it's great.
Stand on it.
It's great.
But yeah, Machine Gun. You know what's funny? I heard that song within probably 7 minutes of meeting you.
Dude, do you
This is like... It's like your go-to. It's like your go-to approach.
That's all I had. When I first met you guys, I didn't have anything, dude. I had these music videos that I was making by myself. When you guys were in, like, you had your brother. You know, I don't know if you made music with people growing up, but I just had myself and my Middle Eastern dad. And my dad's like, we're going to make the best music video. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And the shit turned out hot.
Your dad was your A&R. It was fire. My dad showed up.
He showed up. And so, like, everybody at my school was like, that's weird. And they started bullying me. And I was like, oh, I got to leave school. So I had to leave school.
You're from Chicago, right?
I was born in Chicago, but raised in Arizona.
Did you shoot that video in Chicago?
No. I shot that in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Got it.
Wow. And by the way, like, we know how production is, but imagine being in a production, you've never done it, and your Middle Eastern dad, who runs a liquor store, is like the PR, like, I mean, the producer, like, it was all over the place. So he'd be like, hey, this week, get ready, put your dancing shoes on, we're doing this. And then he was like, we're gonna have to push it back a little bit.
Who did the choreography?
There was no choreography.
No, there was. There was some sharp dance moves in there, George.
That's where I started, bro. I started dancing. And then I told my mom and dad, I go, I want to be like the main, Justin Timberlake at the time was like the guy, right? I was like, I want to be like Justin Timberlake. And my mom and dad were like, no, you don't sing, you dance. And so I just started writing like all the time, like poetry. And then I wrote that song. And then I started producing. And my parents were like, oh, he's actually pretty like good at this. So they did the music video. But I kept telling everybody at school, like, yo, you don't even understand, like,
oh no,
this music is gonna be hot. But I kept pushing back the date, so I became the belligerent liar, dog. Like just, oh, he's always telling people, it's been 9 months I've been telling people.
Well, that's classic with weekend, artists. That's what artists do, say they're releasing music.
Yeah, like Jasper's album drops tomorrow, right?
Well, really? No, it doesn't. It was supposed to.
Oh.
Is my dad doing your album?
Yes, he is. We're locked in right now.
That shit's gonna turn out hot. It might take a little bit, but it's gonna be hot. But anyway, so I woke up the day and I needed people to be in the background because, like, I'm shooting a music video.
Yeah.
And I asked everybody at school. And only two people showed up just to fucking show up and look to see the disaster. And then they were going to go back and tell everybody at school, like, no, we made it clear. He's dumb. We don't talk to this kid anymore. So they showed up. Crazy. But my cousins that were shooting, they brought, like, I'm talking all the bells and whistles. So they showed up with trucks and they were like, oh, shit, this is going to look. Like, legit. Yeah. So one text after another, and all of a sudden, there's like 300 kids from my school.
See, fuck them.
Yeah, bro. They don't know until we hot.
What about the budget? It was like a full-fledged production. I mean, it wasn't
everything was done by my dad. Like, That's literally hilarious, every single thing. That's why when people are like, you're only in this industry because of your dad. You know, like, when somebody's famous, and then they have, like, a son, and I was like, why are you getting mad at him? Like, if your dad is in the industry, right? Like, for example, your kid wants to be in the industry. They're going to probably punish him for being in the industry because they're like, you didn't deserve it. Sure. Your dad did all the work. But it's like, your dad should help you regardless.
I'm going to teach my kids, like, the perfect rebuttal for this because I know it's going to happen to them. So they're going to say, you're only that because your dad is Jake Paul. And I'm going to have my kids say, you're only poor because your dad is.
There's a lot of aggression in you, huh? For so much success.
My God, bro.
Sorry, my dad. Whoa.
You're only poor because your dad is a fucking hillbilly. Like, bro, shut the fuck up.
He came after his own people, dog. Jake, you're on a vibe right now, bro. Nah. Dude, I've never seen somebody have so much success. It's still punched down at the. Okay, all
right. Well, it is interesting, right? You work.
Well, no, because they're punching up. At me. So I gotta punch him back down.
Why did you beat up that homeless? Well, he just started yelling gibberish at me, so I can't let him talk to me like that.
It's probably not what I'm gonna teach him to say, but I just thought of that right now and then acted like I thought I was gonna teach them.
Hopefully, you have kids with the girl that you're with now, and then you'll learn. Like, nah, I should probably act like my mom, very calm, patient.
Yeah, she's way more mature and nice and level-headed. So yeah, I'm starting to act more like Yuta, which is amazing.
You're fucking but poor in this hard economy.
Oh my god, dude. Anyways, buy my merch. It's out now. What the fuck,
guys? It's the biggest game of the year. The Super Bowl is here. And it's time to 300x your money with Better, the best fantasy sports gaming app available. Download Better, play Better Picks. You can win 300 times your money for the Super Bowl. And the craziest part is the competition only offers 100x multipliers. So Better is automatically three times better, pun intended. Download Better and play Better Picks today. But you know what's funny is Logan... We're in our apartment, you know, at the corner there above Erwan. And he was like, yeah, like I met this kid who can like sing and dance like Justin Bieber. I'm just going to invite him up to the.
Justin Bieber.
Dude, by the way, they did pull up. I had like, I'm not kidding. My apartment was smaller than this room. It was way smaller than this room.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my God. It just brought back so many memories. I forgot.
And in this room, that's not, I'm not exaggerating. It's up to that camera. That's how big this room is. And
you lived in prison.
I only had only one furniture, and it was my bed. And I made that shit so nice for them. And I was just jumped on with their shoes, and I'm like, please don't do that. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think they would show up. Like I just met this guy at the gym, and like an hour later, him and his brother. And by the way, this is his brother's. This is Jake.
No, because bro,
you did not want to be there at all.
No, yeah. Because you were like, and you started jumping when you were talking about, yeah, and then there you went, wait, whoa, we did this. And I was like, yo,
in my defense,
slow down.
I didn't have any friends, and it's been a couple months since I've talked to anybody. So the fact that I had two dudes, yeah, I was just like, dude, I used to go shopping for nothing. I just wanted to talk to people at the store. So, like, when these guys pulled up, and I was like, well, and by the way, they're fucking cool. I've seen them on the internet. So it's not like some dude at the gym. It's like, now I have a friend, and these guys are, like, coming up hard. And I was like, bro, I got to fucking impress somebody here. So I just started showing them.
In this club, that was your plan, to impress them.
I was showing them my beats, and they were like, that's sick. And they just dapped me up. They left.
Bro, I was trying to get signed to the label.
Oh. Was that the goal at the time, music? Was that...
That's what I came out here for. Mm. I came not here, LA, but yeah, that's what I went out there for. I was interning at the time, and I was just really good and at like trying to, you know, figure out my lane, and just kind of like how we're all doing it. Like you're passionate about something and it kind of spins into something else and molds it. And now I'm back with the Heart of David, which thank you for that shout out, by the way. Yes, I really appreciate that. I was young, so I was just trying to find a lane, and then I get a text 2 days after that, and Logan goes, yo, me and Jake are shooting this sick-ass Vine called Liar Liar, Pants on Fire, and it's, in quotations, lit. And I was like, all right, nice. And he goes, come over.
Wait, so he texted the way he made YouTube titles?
Something like that. It's not verbatim.
In
but,
parentheses, but like, gone
I was,
wrong.
Like, excited, and I was like, let's go. So I get there to, it was at a different location at the time, because you're shooting
wait,
something.
Wait,
Vine. It was a Vine.
Oh, okay.
And I'll never forget, the second time I saw you, you were sitting down, looking at me in my eyes, sitting down, and there was a pool right behind you. And you're like, dude, and you're dumping gas on you, dude. Like, gasoline. Not like...
I was?
Yes, you were. You were dumping gas on you. You're like, yo, look, check this out. So he's going to be like, liar, liar, pants on fire. And then he's going to throw a match on me. Now, listen, I thought I was showing up, and they're going to have, like, you know, like a graphics team pretend there's flames on these guys. And three times they kept throwing matches and he wasn't lighting up. And I'm like sitting back and I go, I'm new here. But I don't think this is an okay thing, right? So then he goes, no, this is not working. We need more. So that they took alcohol, you know, like the Band-Aid, like you cut yourself, that type of one.
Yeah, sure.
Not like a... Like,
rubbing alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking dumps the whole bottle on him.
I remember this now. We were sitting on stairs.
Yes, you were.
I fucking remember this.
And then
now.
You light yourself on fire and it was like... And I was like, no way. And then he jumps into the pool. And I was like, in my mind, I go, now they'll probably realize this is stupid. They won't do this anymore. And Jake goes, was that good or do we have to run that back? And I'm like, are you fucking crazy, dude? Like, yes. So they had to wait 30 minutes for him to dry up. Then they blew dry him. Then they put more gasoline. And I'm like, in my mind, I go, how are the apartments letting this happen? Because people are just standing above looking down, smelling gasoline and fire. And that was the first time I ever watched them shoot content.
Insane. It's funny because Logan would always make me the like fall guy because he was like the older, like he could like con me into being the one that gets lit on fire or like to go do the dumb prank where I have to like,
yeah, Jakey, do you want to be in this or not? I can get Marcus Johns right now, bro. He'll be like, here in 2 minutes. Do you want to be in this?
I'm like, all right, fine, else. I'll do it. I'll fucking light me on fire. It's not even my vine. Like, I'm not even getting
the... He doesn't even tag you?
No, yeah, he probably didn't. He so probably funny. Fucking didn't. That's so crazy.
So there's obviously a huge history between you, him, and Logan. And then obviously you fucking crushed it these last few months. This has been insane.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Crushing it. All glory to God. I literally had no idea how to get out of that. And I was just like, I'm going to just stick to this podcast thing. And I found my wheels. And now season two is looking just unbelievable. So thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, it's been awesome to see. And you're obviously this is all coming off of Impulsive. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind me asking, where did things stand with you and Logan and the relationship there?
Disagreements. Just like how you disagree with them, right? But I feel like you guys might be a little tighter because you guys are blood, right? You can't get rid of blood.
Yeah.
As much as I've seen you guys tried hard.
Yeah.
But I think it was just we had personal issues between each other. And it's hard because my love never left, right? And when you go around the world and people are dapping you, I'll be like, hey, yo, fuck Logan, like that. And I'm like, yo, like, chill. Like, that's still the guy that opened up the doors for me and he took care of me. So, like, it's hard. I don't forget where I come from. Mm. And also, it's like all the other memories that people don't see is very good memories. And to me, it was just like, we'll get around to this at some point. But my plan was this. I think in the back of Logan's mind, regardless of how he thinks and regardless of what I've done as a friend, I think the aspect of him being above me in the industry, in his mind, he'll always think, well, he's only sticking around and it's because he gets something out of this. So in my mind, I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm out. And when I come back, I'm going to show you I'm stronger and I don't need you. And that way, when we do have a conversation, you know it's only out of love and I only want to be here because of the relationship.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like when you guys were going through that, I just like didn't believe it at first.
Yeah, he kept texting me. He's like, this is a prank, right? You guys are like gassing up the show.
And like, yeah. And I was like, because why? And it doesn't seem like necessary. But also, you guys are so passionate, both of you, and I don't know. I just always was like, yeah, they're going to be friends again and figure it out. And I do still believe that. I think at some point they'll be putting differences aside. And there's nothing can't be fixed. And that's what I would like to see because I miss
all, or you guys everyone just get into friends. A gnarly fucking MMA match.
It's funny because, like, regardless of what he's ever done to me, I don't think I'd ever be able to lay my hands on him. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you have that type of love with someone, I don't know if you guys ever had a relationship where you fall out with somebody, but, like, even if he fucking just struck me in the face, I couldn't remember anything besides everything good between us. I would never be able to put my hand
on him. Nah, we'd be punching each other up.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. If you ever punch me in the face, like, it's not going to go good for me, but I'm going out fighting.
Are you still doing music, by the way?
No, I haven't in some years now.
Yeah, he's acting like me.
Wow. 20s. Yeah, I got busy with this guy. We started getting busy. And
to be honest, and I'm not just saying this for camera, and this might offend a lot of people that are going to watch this, but you two are the only people I like that Jake brought around. No offense to any of you guys. I just met you guys, okay? Except for Gus. It's your birthday. I love you. I just met you. You guys are all looking very disappointed better. Right now. We just met. I'm just talking about collectively new, as so friends hanging out. You were a magnet to the worst human being. Actually, I'll save that for my episode. Sorry, go ahead. I'll let you lead that. I'll save the gossip and talk shit for my show. I'm so sorry, go ahead.
No. I forget where I was even going with that, but I appreciate the compliment.
No, I really, you guys were very down to earth. You guys are very down to earth, and you guys, I think people at the level that Jake's at now needs people to be like, nah, chill.
Yeah, sure.
And I think the other people were kind of like, no, do it again. And I'm like, all right.
All right, Jasper, I have a question for you. Do you think there will be a missed field goal at the Super Bowl?
Most definitely.
There's going to be, right?
Absolutely.
That's also what I think. And I'm here to tell you guys that something that you probably don't know, but now you're going to freaking know it. If you get this question, the field goal question about the Super Bowl, right, and a few others in the Better app, you could win your share of a $20,000 jackpot. It's free to play, a free-to-play game for the Super Bowl. Answer a couple of questions and get a shot at winning a portion of this $20,000 jackpot for the Super Bowl. Download Better and play the free-to-play game as soon as you get into the app. Come on now, stop playing yourself.
I don't play myself. I'm about to get my little piece.
Really, there's going to be a missed field goal. I mean, just get that and a couple other questions right. You make 120.
They're going to let the moment get to them. Thank you. They can't lock in. Download better. Play better picks. Now.
I'm sorry. We've been terribly rude. Congratulations. You guys just got engaged.
Yeah, that's rude, bro. Run it back. We'll start from the beginning.
Yeah, well, that's what we should have talked about first, is because that was rude of you.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's BS rude. With Brandon.
Yeah.
What is the worst podcast ever?
I like it. It's Thank very you. All over the place.
No, it's like one of those TikTok podcasts like that just started, like three dudes were like, yo, we should make a podcast.
Yeah. But I like the vibes. The vibes are good. Thank you for congratulating me on my
getting
engagement.
Getting engaged.
Yeah. Best friend. Shauna De La Rica, she actually is the co-host
of the George Janko show. Yeah.
I knew I was gonna marry this woman like right when I met her. But I think when you meet the right girl, it scares you because you have to be the right man. And sometimes you either step up to the plate and are that guy, or you kind of like watch her walk away to somebody else. And when I met her, I was like, no, it's now time to like shape up, get everything in order. So I actually owe a lot of what I got going on to her because she really did motivate me. I love you with all my heart.
All of my exes, please text me. I'm ready to be this way.
Oh my God.
I'm ready to be the right man, and I'll pick one of you guys to be the lucky winner, and we'll go on a cruise.
How are you in a relationship? Are you a loving man?
I don't want to talk about this.
Are you a cuddler? Are you big or small spoon?
Jasper, this is such a topic because I literally heard him the other night. I don't know if we can say this.
Yeah, you can.
But I literally heard you on the phone begging a girl to be the little spoon for 25 minutes.
It wasn't 25 minutes. It was like 9 minutes.
Weird thing to defend, man. Like the timing of it.
I was doing that, but it was only half the time.
Sure. Brother, I'm not going to sit here and lie. It just depends, brother. So, fuck you.
I mean, I was gonna bring it up if he didn't.
No, I'm small spoon, bro, and not because of my height. I mean, it comes like an action figure, like
sometimes
not sold
like
separately.
Little spoon, like yeah,
sure. You need
little spoon's awesome, bro. Listen, it's I'm like having a house, like a life. Just give me some warmth. You know,
like
what I mean?
Having like, on a little jetpack, like cool. I like it. Yeah,
yeah, your little backpack vibes.
Yeah, I'm little spoon, but like big little spoon.
I think it is going to be funny when you get into a relationship.
Yes, bro, I have mommy issues, bro. Yeah, but I'm not about to talk about this issues. On camera.
Wait, we that's not why. I love my mom. Issues. I have no mommy issues. I just like being small spoon because it's cozy.
Ask him about his mom.
How's your mom?
She died from a heroin overdosing on my
birthday. Why would you ask about that?
Why would you ask about that?
She literally died on his 8th birthday.
Are you joking?
You're a dick.
Are you joking? Is this a bit? Nah, you're messing with me.
No, she's dead.
Nah, dude, don't do these jokes.
No, she actually was, like, is super dead. I'm being so serious. But, like, she was a party animal. Like, bitch knew how to party. I'm not going to lie. You'll be all right, though. She's, like, super dead.
And I am very sorry for your loss.
She died on my birthday, which is tomorrow. So, tomorrow, like, I got to think about her. So, I'm going to do it.
Please tell me your joke.
No, not joking.
I'm so
It's sorry. Crazy of you to ask about that.
That, like, is that's so triggering, and you're, like, a piece of shit.
So it is a joke.
No, she's super dead. And you keep reminding me of it. It's like a constant reminder.
Is he messing around?
No.
On his mother's life, she's dead.
Yeah, my mother rest in peace. My mother is resting in peace.
You guys are wild, bro.
You're the wild one for bringing it up.
I am very sorry. I should have known that this piece of shit has no soul.
Is he the piece of shit or are you the piece of shit?
By association, I'm a piece of shit.
Hey, we were best friends for like 6 years.
Bro, but they got rid of me. I'm not part of the crew anymore, dog.
No, I didn't get rid of you.
They sold me for
less. I didn't get rid of you.
So sorry about. Is it your birthday tomorrow? This podcast to me right now, dude, is
bow your head,
bro. I am very, very. I'm smiling right now because I'm
sure
so
you guys
uncomfortable.
Like and subscribe.
I love you.
For episodes
I'm very
every
sorry
week.
Okay, bro.
For I'm more sorry. Bullshit.
It's okay.
Fuck both of you.
Listen, bro.
What did I do?
Can you do one thing for me?
Yes.
Can you look into that camera right there and say download better and play better? Please?
No.
Then why would you ask me the one thing I can't do, dude? Yo, when his album drops, maybe next year, maybe this year.
Yeah.
Please download it.
Download it and stream it.
I don't know how to pivot from this situation. Boys, could one of you guys pivot from
this? No. We're going to let you just drown all the way.
She loved heroin. Like, it was like Like, what's your favorite meal?
Why are you laughing at us?
Yeah, that is fucked.
What the fuck?
Like, a little empathy would be, it would go a long way.
Like,
right,
like, there was, she loved hamburger helper and heroin. And she had a red car that she named Reddy.
Triple H that from the WWE. Hamburger helper and heroin. She's a Triple H from the WWE.
In my arms. It was my birthday gift to go see her. Because she also had cancer.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I'm so serious.
Dude, there's no way you guys are doing this to me right now, bro.
She had bad luck or something.
Maybe move on.
Yeah, it's time to move on. So how about those Yankees?
There's three co-hosts. You guys got to pivot here. You guys got to pivot here.
We have a very interesting way of dealing with trauma, and it's what we just did.
No. Actually, hiding it, masking it.
And no, yeah. It's just joking. It's just joking about it. That everything.
Oh, so it wasn't real?
No, it's real. So
we're back to this. Okay. Yeah. Dog.
It's like actually not a joke, but like.
How is your dad? Are you good with your dad?
It's like my little brother. He's like having a son. It's pretty cool.
Your dad's like having a son?
Yeah.
Like he pays for his stuff and all
and
that.
And I teach him stuff. And
I get the frustration when you were 19. Mm. I get it. Yeah. I get it now.
That slap was all the anger from his mother not being there and his dad being his son.
And that's also my four other brothers being my son. Shout out to you guys.
Time for that pivot. Andrew Tate interview, man.
I love you so much.
I love you, man.
We're definitely going to talk off camera when these guys aren't around. Okay, Andrew Tate, please go.
Yeah, man. Fucking ultra viral.
Yes.
Unbelievably viral.
Thank you.
I think everybody probably saw the interview, but what was the whole experience like going out there? How did it come about, and what was that all like?
Weird story with that. Yeah. And I actually have it recorded too, which I'm actually very excited about. After the pivot off of Impulsive, I was in a state of fear. I just didn't know where to take things, and I didn't know what to do. And so I prayed, and I said, God, like, where do you want me to go? And the reason I'm not upset with Logan or Mike anymore is because I had a lot of learning to do. I had to grow up. I had to learn how to deal with things I didn't know how to deal with, and I learned a lot through that obstacle. So to be honest, like, I thank God every day for what happened. So when that happened, I asked God, I go, what do I have to do? And God was like, you need to stop pretending to be you and be you. And what you are is somebody who cares about people and wants to understand them and see them in a different light. And so then while I was praying, I saw me having a conversation with Andrew Tate, because while all that was going, I would always defend Andrew because I already knew where his direction was, but I knew his deliverable was wrong, right? And we have that a lot in this country. There's a lot of people that say they won't vote for Trump because they support his views, but the way he goes about speaking them is like hard to defend them. So in my heart, I was like, man, if I could have a conversation with Andrew, I wonder if I could bring out a side of him that like people will be like, okay, I get why George likes the things that he talks about. Now, I don't know the man at all. Mm-hmm. And I just started putting my head down and working, and the opportunity came. And when that came, I was just like, this is insane. And I knew that this episode will dictate where I go next, right?
And how was it a conversation between your team and his team? How did it?
So I would wake up every day, not even exaggerating, wake up every day, I'm like, guys, we're going to have an episode with Andrew. It's going to change our life. Like, and by the way, we had no leads. And then one day I had a Patrick Bedavid episode. And me and him got along very well afterwards. And while that episode went live, Andrew reposted something that I said. And I was like, yo, this isn't my opportunity for it. I don't know what is. So I reached out to Patrick and I said, Pat, like, you don't have to do this, but if you could, I'd really appreciate just the introduction. I would love to just have a conversation with him. And he's like, wait one moment. And then next thing you know, like, I get a DM from Andrew. And I was like, damn. And then he's like, do you mind coming to Romania? And I said, absolutely not. I love traveling. I went there, and while it was happening, we did an intermission. This is when I knew things were going to be different for this episode. When we went to the bathroom in between part one and part two, he looked at me and he goes, this is going to do really well for you. And I was just like, oh, cool. And after that, I just got an influx. I think I grew like a million people. Like, I had like 700, 800 on YouTube and a couple hundred thousand on Instagram, and all my other channels just started going crazy. And all people were saying is, oh, this is who you are, which is hilarious because that was my prayer. And God was like, yo, you got to stop pretending. And I think I was just super insecure because think about it. Like, I jumped on a show that was already popping. I am with two massive people that are doing their thing. The guests are incredible. So I was always trying to entertain and not really just be myself and be in the moment. And so that episode changed me because I was so locked in on just getting to know him, doing my job as an interview. It taught me how to be an interviewer. Mm. And from there, I picked up traits that I have now, and God willing, it just keeps going. And it sounds cheesy though. I believe that everything that comes from me, it's a blessing, comes from the Lord. So I work hard, but if the Lord's not going to bless my fruits, then I'm not going to have any fruits. And when I asked God to walk with me in this interview and prepare me, I thought he was preparing me for that just one interview. But that interview opened so many doors up. I have guests lined up past March, April, May, like lined up. And these are guests that I didn't even dream about having conversations with, let alone having a relationship with them. And so, yeah, I don't know where life is going to go. I'm just grateful to be where I'm at. And I've learned one thing, most importantly, you could either be two men, a man that wants or a man that's grateful. And so I just want to be a man that's grateful. And so I'm grateful for where I'm at. And I pray it just continues to be that way.
I love that. And it's so cool to see, you know, I think for people watching too, like everyone deals with losses or maybe getting fired or ups and downs or whatever it might be. And my life got so much better and I found myself completely after losing, which was one of my biggest fears. And it sounds like the same.
Because you're like, oh, that's it?
Exactly.
Dude, and right? It's like, oh, that's the worst. Okay.
And you just double down and it's like, oh my God. And now the biggest fear is out of the way. So you're like free in a sense. And then you're kind of come closer to your truest self, which is pretty amazing. It's like two L's really make a W. And it's like exactly what you went through at first. It's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, you're in that gray area, but that's where the beauty and the growth is. And it frees up the space and something magical can come in.
I don't know if you had the same feeling, but you realized what mattered after that. Like you were like, oh, okay, I understand what I should actually be putting my joy and peace into. And when it comes to your relationships, your loved ones, like, and I think with any career you have, there's gonna be like this. So if you know that you're gonna be here one day again, but it's fine because you're gonna be here. It's like, you know, if you look at stocks, anybody who does really good in stocks, they're never just going like this, right? But they're still good. They're going like this. And I think it's just a pride thing. When you put your pride into your passion or your work, it stops becoming passion. It starts becoming pain. You're like, oh, I have to upload this thumbnail. And it has to be clicking. But when we started, we were just passionately making videos that we thought were good.
Lighting our pants on fire.
Yeah. And just, you know, just doing things that you and your friends thought were funny. And it wasn't that big of a deal to you, but you found success because you were passionate about it. And I think, true, okay, if I'm going to be opened up about anything, I just realized when I was in that place at the time, I was journaling and I was just like, I don't feel like I'm, when I look in the mirror, I'm not proud. I gained weight. I was just so insecure. I was lost. I was confused. And so I wrote in my journal. I said, God, I'm too scared to move. I'm terrified, but I know I should. So if you could do me a favor, my prayer is take my feet and place them where you want them to be, not where I want them to be. And ironically, when the whole Logan and Mike and the impulsive thing was all that trauma and all that bad stuff and all that chaos and I'm scared, but that's what I asked God for because I was too scared to leave. So God's like, all right, I'm going to push you out.
Well, there seems to be a parallel between earthly matters and spiritual matters where these things require, Jake was just talking about those two L's making a W. So like with earthly matters, maybe it's a big fall in business that then becomes the foundation that you build the biggest business of your life off of. But that also is a commonality with spiritual matters where a lot of people's spiritual awakening come from this, from a pit. It comes from a big down in their life.
Do you know why I figured this out?
Yeah, sure.
In the scripture, it says that God, he's a God, but you have to humble yourself in front of God, right? So you must submit yourself to God. And Jacob uses the metaphor of wrestling with God. And so I tell people that if you're wrestling with God, you haven't submitted to him. So when you're fighting somebody in mixed martial arts, when they have you in a place where you're either going to tap out or you're going to pass out, right? But when you tap out, they have the decision of doing two things. One, showing you mercy, or two, ending you right there. That's in their hands. And when you submit to God, you have to be vulnerable and be like, all right, I submit to you. And men only submit to God when they know it's time in their life.
I have a great relationship with God, it's very different than I think a lot of people's in a sense, which is a total like another super long conversation. But it's through definitely like meditation, breath work, spiritual ceremonies. And in one of the first ones where like I really became enlightened, awakened, whatever it was, there was a moment where I just was screaming like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm sorry. I don't know anything. And just being completely humbled by seeing like the power of not only life and earth and but of God. And I just was like, I don't know anything. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like almost like begging them to like just be like, chill.
It's a perspective. And that's why in the Bible it says it's easier for a big rope to go into the end of a needle than a rich, powerful man to see God. Because if a rich, powerful man only sees it from his point of view, he's never going to see it from God's point of view. Because a human's point of view is so much smaller than God's point of view. So God just wants a relationship with you. And that's why he's called a father. Because he does, like, when you have a father, a good father, you listen to your father, you obey your father. You're not disrespecting it, because then the relationship could have a fallout. So it's kind of in a place where when you say, hey, God, you're actually in charge. I don't know anything. I don't have the power that you hold. Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? You're being vulnerable. And ironically, think about any type of relationship with your girl, with your music, and with your passion. When you're vulnerable and real, it's the best way to go about it.
That's where vulnerability is actually real strength. And the people who are afraid of it are actually the ones who are the weakest. But I agree. It's like when you step out of the way and you're almost this like proxy of God or like the higher beings. And that's where you can like find your sacred responsibility. Where I asked that same thing. I was like, yo, like what do you want from me? And it was like, yo, I want you to become world champion, because you're going to show like so many kids out there and inspire so many kids out there that no matter, or adults, whatever it might be, that no matter when or where they start in their career, they can become the best in the world at it in 6 or 7 years. And it was like, I need you to do this. You have all the tools and capabilities and resources to make this happen. And it's just up to you to make it happen.
And you found your purpose in that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had this conversation on my last podcast. I said, if you have identity issues, which our country has identity issues, right? In any form, it could be the one that everybody's talking about that's a little bit too much. We won't get into that. And then we have the smaller version where it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do on this earth. I don't know what I want to be. I don't know what I should go to college for. And I said, if you don't know who you are and you're lost with your identity, maybe it's because you haven't revealed who created you. How do you know where you come from? If I have a Mercedes, I'm not taking it to Honda. Because when Honda opens it up, they're going to be like, oh, we didn't create this. We don't know what's going on inside of this. So when you went and breathed, which I find it very beautiful, because check this out. Do you know why they called him Yahweh?
Say it again.
Yahweh.
Yo. Oh, no.
Is the one of the names of they call God. There's the I am. There's Yahweh, right? Yahweh is because every breath is God.
Yeah.
So Yahweh. It's literally the sound of you breathing. So you were calling out to him through a breath work,
yeah,
which a lot of them did back in the day when they didn't know the Bible. They didn't know how to reach God. They were just breathing and submitting themselves to God.
Well, but yeah, breath work raises your consciousness and raises your energetic vibration as well, which can elevate that state to get you closer to that higher being, which is why it's like going up, and everyone looks at God as like looking up, because it's that higher state of consciousness. So that for me was the first step on my journey to becoming spiritual and finding God as well, was the breath, which is super interesting. I didn't know that.
My only advice to you is keep finding him before he finds you in a bad spot. Because it's either going to be two things. If you ever have a relationship with God, it's either I'm going to get stuck in a really bad place and then I'm going to introduce myself to God, or I could keep growing in this life that I have, but with God.
How did it start for you? Because that's my mom has said that to me. That's been her. My mom's Christian. I guess agnostic. I'm very open to the idea of the Christian God, a God, any God. I'm open and I'm searching. My mom said to me that her fear for me is that I'm gonna have to fall so hard to be awakened to God that's what she's scared of. But she's, you know, with her belief, she
says, your mother pray for you to find God?
Of course, yeah.
And that's gonna be your destiny.
Yeah, so
that's the worst part about it, bro, because her prayers, before even your health, it's going to be let you have a relationship with God. So That's where it can get dangerous, because God is a God of, I'm going to answer your prayers. And sometimes our prayers that we ask are dangerous because it's like, well, God, present yourself, right? And then the way God presents himself might not be the way you want it. It's because you're being an egomaniac in front of him.
But I'm also open and willing for that. If that, like, yeah, yeah. Listen, man, if what's on the line is eternal life with yeah. God, then a painful fall to my ego here on earth is a minimal price to pay for that.
Yeah.
So if that's what it takes for me, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Because I do, I desire that relationship. I've never had an experience with God to make me open to that relationship, but I stand here willing for whatever it takes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To get there. But I say that to ask, what was it for you? Was it you building it? Did it take a fall? What was your beginning of your spiritual journey?
Before I go to me, I would want to just stick to you in just 2 seconds. You just admitting that is the first step, right? Mm-hmm. That's the best thing you could do. Ask for wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. For example, are you good with your mom?
Yeah.
You have a great relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
Were you a bad kid growing up?
Yeah.
What was the first thought you did when you did something wrong?
What was the first thought I did when I did something wrong?
And you knew you were going to get in trouble.
I just hope I don't get in too much trouble so I can keep doing bad shit.
Well, for me, it was, I don't want to disappoint my mom. Mm. And me not wanting to disappoint my mom, I didn't want to break her heart, led me away from doing the decisions that I wanted to do in the time. Mm. My friends were getting high at school, but if my mom ever found out, she'd be heartbroken and she'd have trust issues with me. And then it would put her in a state of fear and panic. I don't want to put my mom in that. So I'm going to, right now, I'm not going to do that. Mm. And so, just because I wanted to, it steered me away. Now, as a 30-year-old man, if I would have done drugs at that age, I would have been lazy. I would have never gotten to my dreams, my aspirations. So the fear that I had with my mom led me to where I am today. So fear is not a bad thing if you use it correctly. You're either going to fear everything around you or you're going to fear the Lord. Because if you fear the Lord, you won't fear anything
else.
Question
though, what if your upbringing is like the polar opposite of that? Like you don't have that moral structure of like, I don't want to disappoint this person, and everything that's showcased to you is in a negative light. Like, for instance, like my dad is a fucking gang member. Mm. Mom's a heroin addict. I have 4 lazy ass older brothers. Like nothing is going right. You know, I'm fucking leaving school, ditching school, fucking running around with a bunch of gang members. Like there was no moral compass or anything to like, I didn't have a guilty conscience when I was younger. I didn't at all. Like I felt like everything I was doing was out of necessity. Even when I'll go rob somebody. I'll be like, well, I can't ask my dad for school pants, or I can't ask. If I need it, if I feel like I need it more than you, I'm going to take it. And as I get older, I think that's fucking terribly wrong just out of growth, but it's not like anything that's towards religion. And even through religion, my grandmother was like the closest thing to Christian, but it was like an incentivized relationship with the Lord. Like if you're broke, pray, or like, using him as a crutch, or like even in times where you should get up and work, like, oh, God wants it to be this way. The Lord wants it to be this way. And it just like, as I got older, I kind of like removed myself from that because I didn't want to use religion as a crutch. So it's like very confusing for me. Like, I don't.
First of all, I'm very sorry for your upbringing. It's not your fault and it's the situation around you. But the best thing about my Lord is that he gives opportunities. For example, the position you're in right now. Right? You could have done 2 things, been like, all right, this is my life. I'm going to continue living this type of life. Or you could say, I don't want this life for me. And I don't want this life for my kids. I want them to not feel scared, to have a meal in front of them, for them to have the money to have clothes. Just because at the time you were making bad things, bad decisions, doesn't make you a bad human. It was the perspective in your environment. You don't think my Lord in heaven sees from your point of view? You don't think he shows you compassion? He's more loving than me at a billion times. So if I could look at you and be so proud of you and where you've come from, you don't think my God's going to meet you where you're at? He's going to show you more than the man that knows God and refuses to work with God. It's the parable, right? So, but let me go back to the man who doesn't have structure. At any point in a man's life, like what you've endured, is you know from right and wrong because of your surroundings. So like if you rob somebody, from the law, you're going to realize that's not an okay thing to do. And there's consequences to doing bad things. Sin leads to death. So even if you know God or you don't know God, His words will last forever. If you do sin, it would lead you to a death situation. Death in the income, death in a relationship, death in a family member. When you walk away from God, you walk away from life. So throughout life, with you not knowing God, you felt God when you had a good time, and you felt the distance from him when things are going really, really wrong through the decisions you made. Now, that being said, God is merciful. So if he knows that, okay, Jasper's never heard my words. He's never had a preacher speak to him. He's not going to measure you at the man who's in the front of the church worshiping God, knowing God completely. He's a very, very, very just God. So now that you know all this, we'll move on to how does a man find the same way that you find money? You hunt for it. No one's going to put money in your pockets. Nobody bought those chains around your neck, bro. You went out and you hunted for it. You made sure this is what I got. Okay, I'm going to come up. I'm going to figure out a way to get out of here. My family will never, ever, ever feel what I feel. This is what you were searching for. Peace and joy.
Absolutely.
It only comes with the Lord, brother. It will only come with the Lord. If you find money, you'll find more problems. I mean, for God's sakes, it's in music. More money, more problem. Right? There's so many slogans in the world that people say that they just don't even listen to. It's became like nonsense. Like, patience is a virtue, but nobody has patience anymore. This is why we don't live in a time where it has a lot of virtue. These things are, when people stop taking words, accountability, or actions that they take, and they just kind of throw it away, it becomes chaos. And you found a way that you were from chaos, and you found structure. You could find the Lord. There's going to be a time where all of us stand before God, and we're not going to be able to lie when he says, have you tried to even find me? Have you truly tried to find me the same way that you try to find that hot track that you want to release? When you were starving and you needed me and you were there and I provided every avenue possible, even that your enemies would be like, how the heck did you even get out of the situation? I was there for you, but when you were on top, when you were celebrating, you abandoned me. You didn't want anything to do with me. And that's why people were like, well, if I don't know God and I don't go to heaven, why is that? Why is he so a bad God? Why is he not let me into heaven? If Jasper, me and you have a relationship, which means if you come at 3 o'clock in the morning and you knock on my door and you open, you're like, hey, I need you. Well, come on in.
But I feel like abandonment for a situation similar to mine, if there's anyone watching who's gone through that, is a harsh word, because if it was never showed to you and you just live your life that way, I don't feel like abandonment is the proper word.
Oh, of course. But we all know we all had that opportunity. Like, if you didn't have the opportunity, that's between you and God. He knows that. So let me give an example. He judges your heart, not your actions. For example, if Jasper's out at the store and he steals 4 Locos to get messed up with his friends, right?
Right.
It's very different than stealing bread so you could feed your brother. You think my God's going to get mad at you for that? I grew up in a liquor store and my dad pulled me aside. We had so many people rob us. My dad goes, pregnant women and young children, if they steal food, pretend you didn't see it. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, we don't chase them if they steal food. We chase them if they steal anything else. So my dad is a human being and he has a lot of flaws. And my dad let their sins go. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the best part, bro. Being in your situation or being in any other situation, we all need mercy, bro. We all have fallen short. And that's the best part about Christ. The good news is, hey, man, you're not good enough. I'm here. We're going to do this together, and you're going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. No man can get to heaven without God. It's impossible. Without Christ, it is impossible to get into heaven.
So when you say heaven, there's, from my perspective, there's two heavens.
Okay.
There's heaven here on earth, mm-hmm. and then there's an afterlife of heaven. Mm-hmm. The earthly application of the Bible, I have no problem understanding, because I have found that not only with the Bible, but most religious scripts, if you follow the rules in these religious books, you will end up in heaven on earth.
That's not what the Bible says, though.
Well, so, but I'm just
there's saying, no rules could we follow, bro. We lust. God looks at, if I'm with my fiance and I look at a girl that's like sexy and I have lust in my eyes, he sees that as me cheating on my wife. Yeah, so we all fall short. It's impossible to follow the rules.
But what I'm saying is, okay, so you strive towards the ideal, right?
We just realize that we weren't enough. That's it. It's just a relationship. God's like, are you trying to say you did this? Because if it's you, then you're not here. But if you're saying, hey, I believe that Christ died for my sins, but I'm going to be obedient. You can't just say, oh, he died for my sins and then be reckless. You have to be Christ-like, which means you have to die to your old self. So you have to be obedient. You have to go along with the rules and regulations. You're going to fall short. But there's a difference from like, if I did something wrong to you and I was like, yo, I'm so sorry, versus like, yo, I'm so sorry. And then you walk away and I dap him up. I'm like, what a loser, dog. There's a difference. You can't hide your heart from God. Mm-hmm. So are you trying to have a relationship with God or not? Think of heaven like this is the simplest way I could put it. Think of heaven as his home. And there's going to be a time where he invites all of his friends and family to his house. And you're going to show up. And he's going to be like, I don't know who you are. I'm sorry.
Damn. I'm going to tell him, Zach Bia put me on the list.
No, like, okay. So, like, I feel like...
It's so funny, bro.
Hear me out. I feel like the word relationship can kind of be subjective, though, because I feel like my relationship currently is the acknowledgement of him being present and his divine creations, because you just can't debunk that and you can't deny it. And I feel like I'll acknowledge things like even just the intricacy of a human design and just things on earth that are like, how the fuck would that be here, right? Mm. But other than that, I just live my life and I have a moral structure and I just try to be a good person. But I can't say that I have a direct relationship with the Lord or I fall under a religion. I can't say that.
Have you ever got a car that you really liked?
Yeah, and then I flipped it. Yeah. I'm so serious.
No, but I'm saying, have you ever got a car and you're like, I haven't seen these cars anywhere? And then you get in the car and all of a sudden you see that car everywhere.
Yeah.
It's because you invested in it. That car has been on the road all the time. You've been passing God every day, but you haven't been investing in him. So you don't see him. So I'm going to make this very clear. If Donald Trump wants to be a part of this podcast, I guarantee you, you guys are cleaning this house up and you guys are going to put on a nice outfit. You guys are going to put on some nice shoes and you're going to present yourself at your best form. But we don't do that for God. We don't do that for God. And he's giving you everything. He's giving you literally everything, like even that
like
breath.
Right now there's going to be an idiot in the comments like, well, because I can see Donald Trump, I can't see God.
Okay, perfect. That's a beautiful thing. Forever who has eyes and want to see will see. Whoever has ears that want to hear will hear.
That right there is, I think, all that anybody at least, I mean, if you're atheist and dead set against God, then maybe not. But anybody who at least is yearning for a relationship with God, that at least is such a hopeful thing to hear. Is like, because I can speak for myself. I've never had a direct encounter with God. I've never had an experience with God, but I sure as hell want to. And at least,
can I ask you something?
You can't see
who's your favorite disciple.
You can't see Wi-Fi.
Who's your favorite disciple?
That shit for sure connecting.
Yeah, that's real.
One second. Who's your favorite?
So we had this conversation.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Okay, what's your favorite chapter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're a liar then. You don't chase God. Mm-hmm. You say you chase God with your mouth. And there's a Bible verse. They say they love me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. You've never, if you had the same will that you had for a hot girl at the club, oh, shorty looking good. I'm going to spray some cologne. I'm going to DM her. I'm going to get some, hey boys, can I borrow your car? Can I get this? You hunted for it. Mm. And God's saying, if you take one step towards me, one step, I'll take one step closer to you. And that's crazy because he's the King of Kings. I guarantee you, bro, we're not going to be like, yo, Trump, you come to me and I'll talk to you.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, go ahead.
Would you agree that a majority of religion is under the structure of a business currently?
Absolutely. It's evil. Think about this. If the devil was real, he's going to mess up every aspect of God possible. Bro.
There's just a lot of discouragement in that, though.
Nah, bro, because I know how big my God is. That's an excuse.
Damn. Blow me off.
Yeah. Nah, my God is great, bro. My God took me from a situation that I couldn't believe and put me right on top for the whole world to see him. And I was just shouting out his name the whole time. My God is so big that I'm not even speaking to this generation. What I say will speak to the next generation because I speak God's words. Mm. My God's words last forever. Regardless of what we do here on earth, in a couple generations, we'd be all forgotten. God's not forgotten. So what are we doing? Vanity is meaningless. Even if we killed it, even if we had the biggest shows, the biggest hit songs, the best cars, all right, for what? It's all going to go from dust to dust.
I disagree with that, but everything else you've said is highly accurate though, but I think you even saying your words live on shows that vanity isn't dust to dust, because like even
not
now,
my words, his words,
Yeah, but I guess you're the one. But do you think that you are like in God's image though as well? Like,
everybody's in God.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So yeah. It's technically His words, right?
No. So His words. I'm talking words. Biblical. So when I say something that resonates with something, like for example, this guy named Billy Graham, right? He'll say something on the pulpit. I believe that's how you pronounce it. But when he speaks about God and it shakes you to your core, it's kind of like there's a Holy Spirit that people have that is from God. God is eternal. So His words will last forever, which means that's why there like it's 63,000 crossovers that Christ did in 3 years. It's physically impossible for a human being to do. It's physically impossible. For Jesus Christ to do what He did and calculated with science, backed and proofed, it's like 1 in 100 billion. Like it's impossible to nail every prophecy that He did. It's impossible.
The reason I say that I believe that like with vanity being like meaningless is because...
Wait, are you agreeing that vanity is meaningless?
No.
What part of vanity is good?
So if your words can affect people thousands and thousands of years later, for example, in Marcus Aurelius, his book, he had journals that then became a book when they were found. It's the book called Meditations. He was the leader of the Roman Empire, right? Yeah. And in his journal, constantly, he would be saying, no one's going to remember me. I shouldn't act like none of this fame stuff matters. No one's going to remember me. As soon as I die, the max amount of people will be two generations removed that remember me. And still to this day, his book is one of the most read books thousands and thousands of years later. So it's funny that actually in the book, because it's saying this in the book, and when you're reading it, you want to adopt those ideas. You're like, yeah, Marcus Aurelius is right. Like, if none of this fame stuff matters. If the leader of the Roman Empire was just a man, he actually hired somebody to walk behind him in public and say, you're just a man, you're just a man, when everyone was cheering for him in the streets. And he would constantly be writing like, none of this matters, so, you know, I'm just going to do the best that I can. But guess what? Thousands of years later, we're all still reading his stuff and his words, and they're still inspiring me on a daily basis. So I do think...
Because you found a man who had wisdom from the Lord. Everything that he just told you is from biblical terms. And that's why he had a man walking around him, because he knew that vanity is the death of a human being. So you're just regurgitating what Jesus said.
But it wasn't meaningless.
But it came from Christ first.
But I don't think his words were from Christ, though. Those were like his own words of like...
Where did he get the idea that vanity is not good?
He that was his own interpretation of like of fame, and that he hated being famous and he didn't understand why people praised him because he was just a man.
But the man that you're looking up to even says vanity is no good.
But I don't think he wasn't basing it off of a religious aspect. Like these were...
No, but I'm just saying, regardless, forget religion. He even says vanity is no good. So why would you now think vanity is good?
Because his words thousands of years later are spread to millions of people.
Amazing.
And affecting them in a good way.
Because what he says is true.
That has meaning.
No. What he says is true. So God's words are forever. So if you say something that's true, that God, like I said, my words will last forever and in the next generation because they're not my words. I'm reciting what God's telling you. So that's why I feel like that will live on, not my freaking vines or movies. Like, but if I say something that touches millions of people's hearts about God and it touches their spirit, that will last forever because it's true and it's from the spirit. This man was touched by a spirit to know that vanity isn't good.
The only reason it lasted forever and is a big book till this day is because it was the journalings of the highest figure in the world.
I don't know who this man is.
Marcus,
do you know who this man is?
At the time, he was the most wealthy man in the world, like the most power.
Fair enough.
So that's why I would like.
But vanity is still not good. What is it? Okay, what would vanity good like? Okay, what is the concept of vanity? Right, it's praising your worth and materialistic things that are gonna die, or praising yourself.
So maybe that's where the confusion was in the definition of vanity, because I think the part that you're hitting on is the fact that Marcus Aurelius was talking about only worry about the present moment because at the end of the day, you're going to die and people are going to forget about you.
Yeah.
And then the contradiction there he's saying is that Marcus Aurelius has died and now thousands of years later, we're still...
But that's, he didn't create that concept.
He did not create that concept.
The reason why that lasted forever is because it's a true concept that was given from God. He just regurgitated. It's like one of the, okay, it's...
Wait, you know, which concept though?
Vanity. Like, vanity is...
No, but I get, but he had... He has 1,000 pages of concepts, though.
But I don't think what you're defending is vanity. Vanity being.
I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that, like, if someone is a figure of prominence, that they can affect things thousands of years later.
Whoa, hold on! I never said they couldn't. I'm just saying that.
But it's
meaningless.
But that's technically vanity, I guess, in a sense. Though it's like fame. You're because fame and vanity being meaningless.
Okay, I think there's I think the confusion that we're having is like vanity is meaningless to your soul. Because even if it lasts forever, right? Say we are on this earth for another 1 billion years.
That. No, I agree with that.
It ends in a billion years. Yeah, so technically it can't be forever.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is vanity could lead you to a bad place. Like if I gas myself up, then I'm going, listen, and this is going to probably piss a lot of people off. Dude, there's not one good human being out there. We're all evil, dog. Every single one.
Well,
of
we're
us.
Naturally parasitic.
We're That's just evil humans, bro. People go, "Oh, money makes you terrible." No, it doesn't. Money makes you who you really are, and it heightens it. Mm. So, if you're a piece of shit while you're poor, you're going to be a piece of shit while you're rich.
I saw something actually today where you said that you could take a hammer and you could either build a beautiful home with it or become a murderer or something along those lines. And I feel like that kind of goes hand in hand with like what you do with fame and your voice. Like one of my biggest desires through my journey is one day to package up what I went through and be able to give it to someone who needs it in a less harsh manner. And I feel like whether we're here for a billion years, 1 year, fucking 5 billion years, that lasting forever on earth hopefully would be like a greater thing to me. So I don't know. I don't feel like fame or maybe, vanity's terrible, but fame not all the time could be such a bad thing, depending on how you use it.
Exactly. Depending how you use it. And we're in this industry. It's very hard to find somebody who's humble at the top. Why? Because they're surrounding themselves with yes. And you can't tell this man no. I find myself to be a very good human being, right? But there's so many times I catch myself being like, that was a terrible move. And I realize this when I'm in my ego stage. When I'm like, no, shut up. You don't even know. That's like me thinking I know more than you. So I am going to overtake your actions and I'm going to do it myself because I'm better than you.
So I guess it's the combination of fame with the belief that you're just a good person. Because that's where things get dangerous, right? What you said
when you have fame, you think you're that.
Mm. But or in general, you're gonna be humble. Humans in general, it's easy to think that, oh, I'm a good person and I do good things. And when the real acknowledgement is that I have the capacity for great good and I have the capacity for great evil. So let me hone in and acknowledge the evil that I'm capable of so I can stay away from that and stray towards good. But if you don't make that acknowledgement, you're bound to just drift into the bad without even knowing the bad you're doing.
Who sets the standards for good and bad?
Yeah, so I don't know. We could get into a great deep...
Who's your moral compass? Because I know people... Well, hold up. Let me rephrase this. I know of people that will rape and murder and claim that it's for their God or for their purpose. What the fuck? So is that their moral compass? I know people that will kill other people in the name of their Lord. I know people that will rape women because they think it's theirs. They don't have a say in this. They will take a 9-year-old girl to their wife. There's so many people that say they're doing good in their eyes, but who holds the law of good and bad?
I guess it depends on your reference point, right? If you're a Christian, then your Lord does,
yeah.
and your religious script determines that. If you're an atheist, I guess there is no such thing, right? Mm. So I guess it's all dependent on the story that you're abiding by and the story you're telling yourself about life.
This is why I could get tricky. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when I was growing up, I grew up in a country that was, God-fearing.
Yeah.
And the less and less we brought God into the equation, the more and more chaos.
And this is what I was talking about with the earthly application. That's why I think religion is great. It provides great structure. It works, right? Like I was saying, like if you if you strive towards the Christian ideal, regardless of being a Christian, you'll end up in a good place in life. You'll end up here on earth in a better place than if you just didn't have the Christian ideal in your life. Yeah. So I have no gripe with the earthly application where I struggle. And I think thank you for calling me out on that, because if I haven't read the Bible, who am I to say?
I mean, bro, it's a lot easier for a guy on a podcast to call you out versus you standing before a thousand angels. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have time now, bro.
Yeah.
There's a parable where Lazarus dies. He goes to hell, and he's begging God just for a drip of water in his tongue. And he's screaming. He goes, "Let me go tell my brothers this is real." And God goes, "No. They'll get the same sign as Jonah." Or Noah. Noah.
Right.
And that's when it's too late, bro. When you see a tidal wave coming at you, and you're like, "Oh, this is it." At a moment's notice. Think about this. Like, really, really think about this. Hypothetically, there's a God. Say I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the most important thing in your day, bro?
Right. It sure. Yeah.
It should shake you to your core, okay, bro. Okay.
So two things here. One, so you believe that if anybody with an open heart approaches the Bible, opens the Bible, and reads the Bible, they will find God.
Absolutely.
Okay. Beautiful. Two, in today's world, where kids have the attention span, where a 6-second video
can pretty good hold attack. Their attention, would you say?
Sure.
If an enemy's playing chess and he's not making move for just today, but generations, would you not say take their attention away from knowledge?
So what would be your step one for that kid? If the Bible feels unapproachable, is it starting with prayer?
Submission. Submission and obedience, right? Because I could submit to my dad all day, but if my dad's like, "All right, get up, let's go to the gym so you can work out." And you're like, "Nah." Okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to get skinny because I'm fat. Okay, you could pray about it all day while eating a Snickers. Mm-hmm. Still going to be a fat boy. Mm-hmm. So are you praying and getting up in faith, going to the gym knowing that you have the strength and the wisdom and the ability to get yourself to that skinny, strong, confident stage of yourself? Or are you just going to sit here and pray all day to a wall?
It's a relationship. It's two sides. You do your part and God will do the rest. Yeah.
Man, bro. Any relationship. If I sat around with Belle, I just realized I'm talking like Trump. Like, if I sat with, I can't even do the impression. But if I sat with Belle and Belle was like, "Oh, she's such a great woman, but like she never had my back. She never did anything in this relationship." At some point, I'm like, "What am I here for?" Mm-hmm. You don't even need me. I'm like, we're not contributing to each other. A relationship is contributing to each other. It's a partnership. I get up and I stand in front of the camera, but guess what? Before I stand in front of the camera, I stand here with anxiety, maybe depression, maybe I'm crippled with fear. But then before I stand in front of the camera and I talk to these people, I go to God and I go, "God, make me a man who's prepared. Take my tongue from me. Make sure I speak with wisdom. Make sure I don't let my enemies get to me. If I walk into a room with obstacles, instead of me crutching over it, maybe remind me how big my God is. Make my obstacles obsolete in my eyes. I know men that could do this obstacle with their eyes closed. Why is it hard on me? Okay, let me involve my God and become a stronger man." But God doesn't just make you a stronger man like that, like a genie. He gives you opportunity to become a stronger man. You want a better relationship with, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I want to bring up your relationship with your father. You want to have a stronger relationship with your father. It's not going to be on Jake's terms. It's not going to be on his terms. It's going to be on your terms because it's in your hands.
Absolutely.
So any type of father figure, if it's heavenly or if it's earthly, it's in your hands. Regardless of what your dad is doing, he can't make you have a relationship with him. He can't pull you by your hair and be like, "No, you're going to have this ice cream sundae with me." No, you have to, first of all, want to. You got to want to have that relationship. And not a lot of people want to follow his order or bow down to something greater than them. They don't want to do it. They'd rather die. There's people that fully know who God is and they're like, "Nah, I don't want to be a part of that." That's it's crazy. Why do you think I one day was making music and making movies and doing all this stuff? And like, then one day I was like, "Let me just talk about this." And the joy that I get, I'm not even going to speak who it was, but even one of the people here at Better came up to me and goes, "Hey, you opened up my relationship with God again." And I could see in his eyes that I don't even know what his obstacles were, but I know they're gone. Because I could sit here and be like, "Yo, like and subscribe, buy my merch." Or I could tell you about a God who's going to take you out of your depression.
And then buy the merch.
And then you have the money to buy the merch.
Amen.
It's business.
And that's
it's business. I'm going to get you on your feet. And then you're going to run to me and buy stuff.
Why do you think there isn't more people that are Christians that are absolutely lit on fire to spread the word, I guess, in a way that you are. Because I would imagine if you came to a conviction that eternal life was there for you as a Christian, you wouldn't be able to help but
there's just so much
spread
in the world.
That so word much. As much as you possibly could. Like, that seems like all that would happen.
I don't think people are good at speaking like George is to be able to describe this thoroughly in a way that makes sense, in a nice tone, with passion, just enough of each, you know, passion and excitement, but knowledge and wisdom. Most people can't speak like him, and that's a gift, and that's why I think he's ran with it. But like your average kid, put him on a podcast, put him in a room, they can't talk, even get a girl's number. How are they gonna spread this massive book? And so I think that's why there are certain people who, like George, have now been given this massive responsibility and power and awesome gift to do that. I think that's really what it is. I don't know.
That was the sweetest thing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Of course.
And the second thing I want to say to that is there's a saying that I love, and it goes, preach the gospel at every moment of your life.
Well, what else would you do?
It's not done. Sorry. Preach the gospel at every moment of your life, and sometimes when it's necessary, use words. Listen, God came down and preached by an example. He didn't say, hey, man, Jasper, come here. I want you to be like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He went and he demonstrated what a man should be like. And people are sitting there being like, wowed at this guy. Whoa, this guy's demonstrating things we haven't seen.
My dad said that's how his relationship with God started, was from a place of jealousy. He said he saw Christians living their life, and he was jealous for many years, and he wanted the life that they had. And I guess that's that in action right there, that there was people demonstrating the life that is able to be had as a Christian, and that life will, I guess, be such a beautiful one that people, just by observing you living a life striving towards the Christian ideal, will bring people to the religion just by living it. Just by,
if you could choose to be one man, a man who's poor but does not need anything, or a very rich man that is in desperate need all the time, which one would you be?
First,
I was poor, God, incredibly happy.
God presents joy and peace to people that are poor and lost and scared and confused. And the reason why rich people have maybe no God is because they consistently want more. And I don't know if you've ever hung out with somebody that always wants more and is never satisfied. It is intoxicating. It's a disease. It's depressing to be around, bro. But you sit around a man who has nothing but maybe a fire going, and he's going like this, and he tells you joyful stories, and he's laughing, and he wants nothing from you, but just your presence and a good time, bro. It's different, bro. It's free. Your joy and peace is free. No one could take it from you.
There's a quote from Stephen Bartlett's book, and he said, it's no measure of health to be well adapted to a sick society. And that's exactly what's like what you're describing there is like, it's like, who's to say, like, the rich man in America that's just on the hedonic treadmill, the never ending hedonic treadmill, who's to say that that's healthy? Who's to say that that's an ideal we're striving for? When then you can go to poor countries and see these people in tribes that are living deeply joyful lives. And it's like, who's to say that they're behind and we're ahead?
There's a lot of people. I don't want to say who I think it is because I might be wrong, but somebody who has a very big company, and he passed away, and the last thing he said, he was like, it's meaningless. It was pointless. Yeah. Like, when you're chasing money and fame and you're chasing the gratitude from others, you're chasing love, bro. You want people to respect and love you. But if you summed up everybody in this room, no, everybody in Miami, no, I'm sorry, everybody in the world, all love you. The love of God is greater. So when you're chasing love, and you're chasing peace and joy, and you know you could only get it from this thing, and he says, you have to die to yourself to come over here. And now, what does that even mean? What does that die to yourself? Die to yourself, bro. Like, stop worrying about you all the time. I don't know about you guys, but when you give to others, I guarantee you find more joy out of giving somebody something that they're desperately needing more than if I gave you something. If you receive something, It's joyful, cool. But if I gave you a chain that's worth $250,000 or I gave you your favorite car right now, it's lit. Yeah, sick for a little bit. But then if you go and you pay somebody's rent for a year when they have two kids at home and they're just dying to put bread on their table, I guarantee you every time you close your eyes and you know that you helped a family breathe, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
That to me is my biggest accomplishment, is like just being what I did for Amanda Serrano. That in terms of like that has just this continuous like joy behind it that just like gives me satisfaction and happiness. But going back, my question is, where is the line of like wanting more, but if the more has a purpose behind it to help others? Because I look at...
So you're thinking about passion.
Yeah, because I guess. But like I look at a position where I'm in right now, and a lot of my drive is to get to a place where I have more influence, resource, and money to be able to help other people awaken to their world of possibilities, but also to have influence in terms of things like politics, which affects people's lives, in terms of,
But look what you're saying, dude. It's always about other somebody else. When before you were in 1600 Vine and you just wanted to brand deal from Sour Patch so you could be loaded and make money and have people think you're cool, how are you then versus now when it comes to your happiness?
Yeah, I'm 10 times happier.
Because you're serving.
Yeah, I got you. That makes sense.
God didn't create you to be like sitting here with no purpose.
Yeah. So the serving, I guess, is different than the more.
God called you to be great.
Yeah.
End of story. Yeah. Know that in your heart.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna ask Bell what is designed for you in your heart. You know something in your heart.
Yeah.
There's a famous saying that God will put a vision in your head of where you see yourself in the future. All of us have it. We all see where that man is, but you don't know how to get there. He doesn't show you that middle part. It's because you need faith to walk through it. And there is a devil, regardless of how you feel. I don't give a shit if you don't believe in God. I don't care what your religion is. There's a devil. And if you don't believe in the devil, good. Now you're rooped in with the other people that don't believe he exists. That's his best trick. If I'm going to attack you, let's talk about the military, right? The Navy SEALs. They don't go, hey, Saddam, we're on our way to get you. They're quiet. Until the last moment before it's your last breath, and that's when you know the devil's real.
Fear no evil, for you are with me.
Is that tattooed on you?
Yeah, your sword, your rod and your staff, they comfort. Yes.
Do you know what the rod is in the Bible? Discipline.
I have so much hair, so I can't read it as good anymore.
Dude, that's so cute that he just got a biblical reference by reading his hand like this. I have a Bible verse right here. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I read that over and over again, and I was like, humble yourself. What does that mean? Does that mean like, oh, I have to be like very meek and calm? No. Humble yourself. Know that you need God. And the one Bible verse that I, like, if you wanted to open a relationship with Christ is this. Seek first the kingdom and then the rest shall follow. What does that mean? Seek first the kingdom, the rest shall follow. Okay. Have you ever grown up wanting something and then like 10 years later, you're like, nah, I don't really want that. Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's because you grow. When you seek God first, he's going to give you your desires. If you don't know what your desires are, he's going to give you wisdom to know what your desires are. If you have passion, you don't know how to pursue it, he's going to give you that lane. But he, as a good father, wouldn't want to give his son a Ferrari if he knows as soon as he gets in that Ferrari, he's going to drive far away from him. Far, far, far away where a lot of danger is going to be. I'm going to give you guys like this little parable, and I hope it, I pray it touches some people. There was a shepherd, and he had a bunch of sheep, and one little sheep, we'll call him Georgie. This little sheep is an airhead.
Georgie.
Has ADHD, also dyslexic. He likes to wander off. All the other sheeps are running around, and Georgie just runs off. And the shepherd's like, hey, and he grabs him and he puts him back with other sheep, right? And then he's taking care of the other sheep and then he notices again, now George is on top of that hill. Oh my God. And he goes and grabs Georgie, puts him back. The third time he runs away, he breaks all of Georgie's legs. Whoa.
What the fuck?
Story? That's called a little plot twist for you, right? Breaks his legs. Wait a second. this is the shepherd. I thought he was supposed to love the sheep. So now he's hanging this four-legged broken sheep around his neck, and he's washing them, and he's taking care of them, and he's feeding them, and he's keeping them in his eyesight around here. And when he's finally bandaged up and he's ready to go running around, the sheep learn through this process that, oh, I'm better with him around me than far away. Now, some people would be like, that's so aggressive. Why would you break its legs? Because from the perspective of the sheep, it's horrible. But the shepherd is taller and sees past the hill where there's very hungry wolves ready to devour that sheep. So would you not rather have your sheep have broken legs or be devoured? Sometimes God needs to break a man to show him you need to stick with me. There's wolves out there that will tear you to pieces without a blink of an eye, and you're running away from your source.
Wow. Damn.
I like that. I think that also kind of explains, because a lot of people, I see like rebuttal with, well, then why are there people murdering each other? Why? Like, there's a lot of, obviously, the evil discussion that comes into play where people are confused around, like, if there was a God, why would they do,
it's
why
so crazy, because it's the easiest answer to answer is because God gave you free choice. Mm-hmm. Free choice. I have hamburgers. I love eating hamburgers. But when I see what they do to cows, I don't agree with that. Why would you do that? Why would you harm the animals? There's no need for that. But it's that man's greed for his pockets that he knows that this will be better for his own profits. But if all of us had our own farms, I guarantee you it would be a lot more joyful. These cows would be a lot more happier, right? It's because we chose that we don't want to harm these animals. There's no reason to harm these animals. But some people don't want to look at another perspective of an animal's life versus the profit that comes to them. Is this the deepest you guys have ever gotten on your podcast?
No. I mean, about specifically about religion, but no.
Shout
but
out Susie.
We go really deep, but I don't think it's actually like what my audience wants. So it's weird. Like, there's like a disconnect.
Watch what your audience are going to say about this, bro. Like, it's weird. A lot of us think people think that they don't want to talk about religion, bro. But I think people are waking up and be like, I'm tired of the streamer throwing eggs at somebody, bro. Mm. You know, like, I'm tired of the girls being like, 1 month of my OnlyFans or like $5. Like, dude, like, at what point are we going to be like, we need nutrients?
Yeah. But the weird part is that of the people who watch it, it's a smaller audience. They're going to be enthralled and commenting, this is the best episode ever. Anytime we get deep about therapy, any of these things, like crazy topics, spirituality, blah, 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 the people love the episode because we're being the most vulnerable. It gets the deepest. But in terms of like the views, it's just not nearly as much as if it's like some drama, a fight, knock out this, big guest that.
But the beautiful thing is you're in a situation now where you're not dependent on getting the most views.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I don't give a fuck. And we are on a show where it's like, yeah, like we can talk about whatever we want, which is beautiful. But it pisses me off because I feel the same way. I'm like, society's falling. Young men are hurting. The world is going to shit. This fucking live streaming bullshit. Who can sit there and just like enjoy that? And it's weird to me that there's like this. And I know it's growing. Because
he's proof of it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how his shit is performing. Like, obviously, there's a yearning for it.
You know what it is, bro? It's every generation feels like it's the worst, right? It's like, oh, yeah, man, right. This generation is going down. But history repeats itself. Mm. Tony just said this to me. He goes, tough times create strong men.
Strong men create weak times. Weak times create soft men. And we're in that spot right now.
We are in that spot. But you know what we need to stop doing? We need to start setting examples. We can't say, oh, this is stupid. These people want to watch this. It's like, we got to start encouraging our audience. Like, no, you guys are not stupid. You guys are just been entertained with the wrong ideas.
Yeah.
No, this country isn't going to shit. We just are pivoting and we need to bring it back. Anytime you have a life coach or a real fitness coach, they're not standing above you being like, you fat piece of shit, you're garbage. No, they're like, one more set. You got this, bro.
I think
you got to speak positive. Correct, it all starts with our mouth.
Correct, but
the harsh truth is very
however, though, it's what's the problem and what's the solution? So the solution is we have to go even harder because the first part, young men are killing themselves more than ever. The society is falling. Our country is going to shit. There's no border, XYZ. Like, we can go on rants all day about that. Worst president in the history. Like, would you want? We can go into that. But that is what's happening. And so a solution, the solution has to be greater. But we can't be like, oh no, like everything's gonna be okay. We have to know that things are in flames, and people like yourself and others, and what I believe myself to be now currently with this show and going more in depth, and what I try to get out there publicly is, now we're the firefighters. We need more water than ever, and we're not scared. That's where the positivity comes in. Like, we're not scared of what the fuck's gonna happen. We can fix this, but it's gonna take a lot of people, a lot of work, and a lot of effort. And people, like, again, like I've devoted basically this whole entire platform in this podcast and to that message. Essentially, we're writing a book along with Aubrey Marcus. Specifically, like, dedicated toward and targeted towards young men, that's like dropping later this year, in terms of like a short guide on like how to help them. And so all that to say, yeah, like, to be positive, but we need more fucking troops and people and to be armed with the problem and knowing that this, the severity of it, because every generation does say, yes, it's the worst, things are going to fail. But those generations had pencils and notebooks, and
yeah, the weapons are stronger now.
Right? And like they didn't actually have and face the problems and the technological advances that are happening at a more rapid scale than ever. You know, these AI creatures, which are thousands and thousands of times smarter than us, and the level of greed, corruption, mental health crisis is at the highest rate it's ever been at. So I understand the sentiment of like every generation thinking it's the worst, but in terms of human history, if you span your arms out like this, the very tip of your, this is all of humans' existence, the very tip of your fingernail equates more advancement in the past 100 years than the rest of this whole entire timeline. So we are advancing faster than ever, which means we haven't had the ability to figure out how to adapt and overcome the challenges that we do face. So this is, in fact, the worst time ever, undebatable. And we have to be the firefighters with more water than ever.
Two things. I'm going to bring it back to the fire thing. I'm going to end it with that. But this generation isn't more evil than the next, and I can prove it. It's all about access. We talked about this with the rich man.
I don't know people if it's more evil. I don't think it's, I don't necessarily, I don't know if it's more.
They're just,
I guess technically if you the follow the through line. Yeah. They
just have more access. Like, for example, we'll bring up OnlyFans, right? You think the girls from the 1920s wouldn't be making a bag right now if they could show their nudes?
No. I don't think anybody thinks the people are different. It's not the people. It's the tools and the weapons that are perfect against people that are more potent than ever.
Let's bring it back to the fireman thing, right? And you said you want to lead nine-year-olds to be in a better life, a better perspective. So I'm going to bring you this. Say there's a building on fire. This is what I mean by your verbiage and how you speak, because speaking is the first step, right? So if there's a fire in a house and a woman's like, please, my nine-year-old kid's in there. He's scared. He's stuck in the fire. Okay. And a firefighter comes in there and he's yelling at the kid. The kid's 9 years old holding a bear. You idiot. Why would you light this place on fire? Your parents are almost dead. Now he's frozen and he's terrified. He can't even take one more step towards him because he's paralyzed in fear and his own consequences in his surroundings, in his decisions. He's terrified versus the fireman that's, hey, buddy, don't worry about it. Come here. Grab my hand. I'm going to get you out of here. There's a difference. How can a man trust you and walk towards you if he doesn't feel like you love him? This is why I have a problem with Donald Trump. And I would love to sit down and I've had conversations to have him on my show. And the one thing I would bring up to him is like, dude, stop talking like an asshole. Because then I can't defend you. You have the right solutions, but you're going about it the wrong way. I can't stand up for you when you're talking like that, because I wouldn't want my children to talk like that. This is why when I stood in front of Andrew and I go, Andrew, you have the right approach, but why are you pissing women off if you know that men are only doing what they're doing to get women? You're separating people. You can't have a good message with bad vocabulary. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't go about it that way. And if we keep just gassing up each other and be like, nah, that's how it is. The world is shit. This is it. Okay, well, guess what? Our children are going to deal with our consequence, right? They're going to deal with what we set for them. And how we started this whole shit is by our mouth. We set the tone of this generation. Us. Back in the day, they used to say the children are our future. What are we doing to our children today?
Selling butt.
I love you so much.
Comedic relief.
I love you so much. Comedic relief. I'm just like, damn it. No, that was great. Thank you so much for that.
But I think
get
also,
in this mode and I can get too serious.
But I think also the fear, yeah, you're 100% right. Andrew and them have the right meaning, but a lot of times the wrong approach.
And he's going to change. I guarantee you he's going to change it.
And I know that all too well with my father. He means well, but like, you know my dad as well.
Perfect example.
He has the greatest heart, but he just doesn't know how to say it.
But where did he get that from? So if we sit there, right, before we throw the first stone, right? Before GP, you son of a fuck.
Yeah.
You know how many times I call GP and I go, I love him, but Brody, calm down, yeah, right? He's so passionate. But we look at GP like, man, he's such a sweet guy, a perfect dad. He wants to be there for his kids. But man, he could act like a son of a bitch sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Where did that come from, though? His father.
Yeah, he's trained. It's learned behavior.
So once you get that perspective and be like, okay, then I could show him grace. Because he's trying so hard to give me what he did not have. And when you see that, your father would, when I talk to your dad and he talks about you, there's tears in his eyes. So every time that you tell me that, yo, my dad is this, my dad is that, I know men that have dads that don't give a fuck about their kids, bro. They wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire. And your dad's heart would literally stop beating right now if there was anything wrong with you. There's not one person that could live if he stood in the way of his children. And if you can't remember this during the times he's acting like an asshole, then you're the asshole.
Yeah. No, and I found that grace in my adult years. But at first, it was like this because I didn't understand that.
Did it humble yourself in front of your father? Regardless of what he did, he's your father. That's why I know people that... I'll use you as an example, and I'm sorry to use this, but your father didn't show up as a father that you wanted.
But we have a great relationship now.
Because you wanted
him. Absolutely.
You respected your father.
I'm not about to argue and beef with my 60-year-old dad. Like,
so, but you're a humble son.
Yeah.
And you're blessed, and so you're showing him grace. But there is a man that had the same upbringing that you, that you're saying, no, fuck my dad. I don't want anything to do with my dad.
I don't know how much time he has left. Imagine he dies knowing I hate him.
Life or death. Every decision has life or death. Every decision. And a lot of people can't understand that. Why? Because they're short-minded and they just want to make a quick little happiness. Right? Mm-hmm. Keep scrolling. Serotonin. Let me do this drug. I'm happy. They run away from responsibility. But everybody here knows, especially you guys back there, when you're editing, when you're performing, when you finish a job that took you so long, how much more rewarding is that than when somebody just gives you something?
Yeah,
why do you think you meet billionaire kids and they're on drugs? I know a guy, he's in recovery right now. And I challenge men's heart because if somebody's not going to challenge you, then you're not going to understand what you need to be challenged by. So I asked him, I go, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you keep making these mistakes? Why do you keep robbing people? Why do you keep doing this? I'm like, why can't you just go out and do it on your own? And he looked at me and he goes, because when I was doing everything, they always said it was because of your dad. And they wrote him off. It's because you're dead. Nothing that he could accomplish did he feel like it's his own. And that is everything. And that's why God's not going to just give it to you. He wants you to earn it so you can have some self-respect. And I hate to mention this right now, but we live in a generation where nobody has self-respect anymore. There's no self-respect. There's people selling out their wives. There's none of this. If we time traveled back to these type of behaviors, every single one of you guys is getting the electric chair. Every single one of you. If you go back to the 50s and behaved with this type of degeneracy, people would think that there's demons in you.
And that's where we go back to square one, where he says everything you've accomplished is because of your dad. And then what he should have said was, well,
everything you haven't accomplished just because of your dad.
Everything you haven't accomplished is because of your dad, bitch.
If his father taught him well, he would say, yes, this is what my father's done. Let me show you what me and my father will do.
And then he just started breakdancing.
Yeah, and also that's a choice, man. When
I step up in this club.
Yes!
Gonna step up in this club.
This is it. This is what we need.
Ladies and gentlemen.
When is this going out?
Next Thursday.
That's when my episode drops.
Yeah, we should drop them on the same day.
All right, guys, make sure you, like, don't watch this fully. Go to mine. Watch all of that.
This is the fully. Like, they already made it. Like, we are outroing. Subscribe. We are doing an episode on George's show with just me, and it's going to be just as good as this one. I feel like we could talk for hours and hours. My thing is this,
and I learned this from the Andrew Tate episode. I challenged him, and I showed a side of him that nobody got to see, right? God willing, we get to do that today. I want to dive deep. You're going to get really uncomfortable, but I want to see that side of you. And you have no say because I flew all the way.
He's going to make you get naked.
We have to do it naked. We're actually going to be my fiance is going to be there. So put a pillow over your junk.
Adam and Eve style.
Yeah.
He's biblical.
All right. For the intro, bow your heads.
Subscribe.
Close your eyes.
Are we praying?
No.
Oh. I got so excited, dog. I was like, no way.
Maybe we should leave it a prayer. That'd be nice.
You guys want to lead a prayer?
Christian.
Who wants to say the prayer?
I mean, I figured.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go. Okay. Oh, dang. Let's go. Okay. If you're at the house and you want to bow your head, please go ahead, bow your head. God, thank you for every opportunity that you've given us. This is an amazing platform, and now you're showing yourself in a generation, and people are starting to see the light. And I pray that this light, it opens up into other people's eyes and hearts, and they could be the reflection of you. And we could get this country back to where we need it so we could help this world out. We could stop being selfish. We could stop being greedy. Lord, I ask you to come in this generation in the same way that Jonah asked them to repent. I ask in their names, please, God, forgive us. We're so clueless.